Welcome to RevCast, the Civilization podcast focused on its console platforms. I'm Joe B. Reeves.
Grayson.
L. Thrasher.
My name is Bob DeGrand. And my forum handle is BDEGRANDE. Civilization, the best game in history, fits in your pocket.
Episode 13, I'm Joe Reeves, Xbox Live Gamer Tech Sonic, and I'm joined by Grayson Middlebrook, Amazing Grayson, on Xbox Live.
Hi.
And Matt Morgan, L. Thrasher, on Xbox Live.
Hey, what's up?
A couple quick developments in the CivRev world. Microsoft and 2K have released CivRev as a downloadable title on Xbox Live. And if you haven't listened to the last CivRev podcast, we had the excellent interview with Barry Caudill, the producer of CivRev for the iPhone and also one of the producers for CivRev for the consoles.
I don't have an iPhone or an iPod Touch or anything, so I'm not planning to buy that game, but it was really interesting hearing a little bit more about the inner workings of 2K and how these things came to be, and I recommend everyone interested in CivRev or 2K or Civilization in general to listen to that, because it's really interesting.
Hopefully he's out there making CivRev too. Do you hear that, everybody? Please.
I hope so. My wife doesn't.
We're going to try and do a better know a civ for each podcast, and I think we're going to start with the Aztecs. The format is how do you start, how do you play, and how do you finish? The best way to finish with the Aztec civ.
When you look at the bonuses, they start with 25 gold. Their units heal automatically.
Important to note that it's only after a victory. If you retreat wounded, you'll stay wounded.
Definitely.
Obviously, that trait stays with you throughout the history of the game as well. It's not like a short-term bonus, or it's not for particular units. It's for all units throughout the game.
Yes, indeed.
Also, they get temples produce 3 signs in the medieval era. In the industrial, they get half-price roads, and in the modern, they get 50% gold production. As far as starting out with them, they're a very easy civ to play, not very complicated as far as the start, but you start with the 25 gold. You want to rush a warrior for 20 gold, usually, when you start out. Unless you're starting on an island, then you might want to save that for a galley, but it's kind of rare to start on an island. But typically, you're saying 25 gold, that's not a lot at the start. Well, that's a head start. That's a 3-turn head start on everybody as far as exploring. Plus, you have the auto heal, and so you're going to explore a whole lot faster.
That gives you the opportunity to go in 2 directions as opposed to everybody else can only go in 1.
Yeah, depending on your start.
Yeah, unless you're on an island, then you're just going to stare.
In the first 5 turns of the game, the barbarians, if you see only 1 flag, that means it only takes 1 battle to kill the barbarians. If you see 2 flags, it's going to take 2 battles, or however many flags, that's how many battles. In the first 5 turns, all the barbarians usually only have 1 flag. If you can make it to a barbarian village in those first 5 turns, that's just more quick gold. And you want to try to get as many of those as possible in the first 5 turns. What I do, I rush a warrior. I put 2 workers on science and research horseback riding for 5 turns while I'm exploring with my 1 warrior. I want to find at least 40 gold before horseback riding finishes in 3500 BC. 40 gold is how much gold it takes to rush a horseman unit. Typically, you can find a barbarian in less than 5 turns with a warrior from your capital. The lowest amount of gold you're going to get is 30 gold. You know, you don't want to get a tech or veteran upgrade or maps of the surrounding area. That's spy might not be so great either, but you can sell that spy for 25 gold.
Would you use the spy as an exploratory unit, or would you rather sell it to bank?
It depends on where you are. If I rushed a warrior in 4000 BC and then I take a barb in 39 or 38, I'll probably explore a little bit because it's unlikely there are going to be other dangerous units out there that are going to steal my spy.
Right.
And you also might find a great land. You might find a friendly village or something like that. Probably exploring is pretty safe, and then once you to the end of that, then you sell it.
Right. But to take spies, you don't have to declare war. So it is a little bit more risky doing that sometimes. But typically, you know, I'll move it around for a turn or two, looking for great lands, exploring, but I sell it. There's not much good use in the ancient era for it.
Also, sites have two movements, so you can always just move it one tile and then sell it.
Try and get one bonus out of something.
Right.
Or just explore a little more of the map.
Right.
When you're online, do you see people typically taking Aztec civilizations because they're somewhat easy in the early game, or is this one of the civs that you're going to run into more often than not?
Most definitely.
I see them a lot, yeah.
Just as a caveat, every time we're talking about playing, are you talking about playing either Deity or online? Are you talking about a particular format?
I might tend to talk a little bit more about what it's like to play online, but as far as opening strategies, most of them go hand in hand, as far as the first 20 turns or so.
Okay.
The AI has kind of predictable behavior that makes it easier to conquer them. If you're taking kind of a multiplayer strategy, it's probably just overkill for AI, maybe.
I would say one change for me, probably, when it comes to playing online, if I'm in a free-for-all, which means I'm up against three human opponents, and sort of looks like I'm in the middle of the map, I'm a lot more likely to try to make two warriors early on and go for horseback riding a little bit later, as opposed to the really fast horseback riding that Grayson outlined, because if it looks like I'm in the middle of the map, I might send my warrior off in one direction, then someone's coming around the other side. You could leave yourself exposed.
Right. You don't want to leave yourself exposed for too long. If there's other directions to explore with a warrior, against the AI, you'll have maybe 10 turns still before you find them. Online, somebody could be rolling up on your doorstep in 3 or 4 turns. You never know. Sometimes what I do, if I get a barbarian hut, you know, on the second or third turn, before I finish researching horseback riding, I'll go ahead and rush it another warrior for 20 gold. They'll typically pay for themselves early on. It might slow down your horse rush by a turn, but better safe than sorry sometimes. And usually, the early warriors will pay off.
Yeah.
Especially the warriors that you create in the first 5 turns. If you can create 3 warriors in 5 turns, that's awesome. 4 warriors in 5 turns, that's pretty good too. But typically, the most common Aztec start that you see online, and this works really great for just smacking down the AI, rush that warrior on the first turn for 20 gold. You have 5 gold left over. Put 2 workers on science, do horseback riding, try to get above 40 gold by 3500 BC when horseback riding is finished. And then set 2 workers to forest and set your production to horsemen. And send out your warriors and horsemen until you can get at least 3 horsemen so you can form the army. You want to go out and find more gold to get the horse army as quick as possible. Typically, I get my horse army somewhere around 3100 BC. A really slow game for them is 12 turns, you know, 2800 BC or 2500 BC would be extremely slow. They're one of the fastest horse-rushing civs, and that's why if you run into them online and you see the Aztecs, you can almost guarantee that they're going to horse-rush you.
Gotcha.
But horse-rushing is an expensive option. You can just stick to warriors and get your 100 gold really fast and start expanding and taking them right away.
Aztec warrior armies also, really early on, are quite powerful. They will tend to take capitals just as easily as horse armies because of the auto-heal.
But you're talking early, early.
First 10 turns.
Yeah, if you stumble upon a civ, would you change your resources to production of the warrior at that point?
Yeah, I probably would.
Okay, and then after you take that civ out, then you have a higher production and a higher science.
Exactly.
Definitely. As he was saying, they had the auto-heal, and so after 3 battles, they're better, and so a warrior army would have 4.5 attack, or 6 from a hill. And then after 6 battles, they could have elite upgrades. You can want infiltration or march or blitz. Those are good upgrades for attacking. But typically for the Aztecs, lots of times they'll get walk-ins. If you find a civ in the first 10 turns or so, lots of times that capital will be open. The AI typically produces a warrior in 3500 BC and 3000 BC, depending on what they're doing. Sometimes it's a little different. But as long as you don't run into their warrior one square away from their capital, if you keep your distance a little bit and then try to get them, say, in 3300 BC when the warrior is 2 squares away from their capital and they can't move it back and they can't produce a warrior, then you can get a quick walk-in. There's lots of ways to kind of abuse the AI to get walk-ins.
When you say the AI is actually producing warrior, though, do they typically explore or do they hover with that warrior or do they just completely park him in the city and try and defend?
They explore a little bit.
Uh-huh.
They'll go a couple tiles away. If they run into anybody, then they will retreat. However, if they run into you and a barb hut at the same time, then that warrior will sit there and work on that barb hut until it gets whatever's in it. Meanwhile, you can just go and take the capital.
Yep.
And usually the barb hut will still be there for you because the AI hasn't finished it yet. It's pretty great.
Another great thing is, if it doesn't look like you could take their capital with a walk-in, if they're going to get their warrior back in time, but their capital is empty, threaten war with them, and you can get 25 or sometimes 50 gold from them if you agree to 10 turns apiece. Now, you got to weigh whether or not you want to have 10 turns apiece or whether you can kill them in that time, but 25 or 50 gold in the early game, that's money. That's a huge boost for nothing, you know, other than doing a little bit of diplomacy.
Now, we've destroyed the first city. We've taken over the first civ that we've run into. But by the time you find your second civ, let's say they're a slight distance away, this is the problem with my opening. The AI has had a chance to actually form a defense at that point. How do you take advantage of the Aztecs to storm the second city, who should be well defended if they're any distance away?
Well, if they have an archer army up already, then you probably can't take the city. If we're talking about a player, it can be all over the place. Some players will leave their cities empty for 30 turns or something like that. You just gallop in. Other players will try to get archer armies as quickly as possible. The good players will have maybe an archer or something like that, and then something to counterattack with, which actually doesn't always work against Aztecs because of the auto-heal. But the AI, it having an archer army before like 1000 BC, if it hasn't encountered you yet, that's very rare. Usually it'll be like maybe a warrior and an archer in the city, and if you just show up out of nowhere and attack, you're going to have the city, because unless you just get unlucky and lose like a 9-5 battle or something like that, you'll definitely have it.
Is that for deity as well?
Yeah.
Sometimes deity plays a little bit more conservatively than the online AI, which is trash compared to deity.
It depends on when you're showing up. I mean, if you're showing up in 1000 BC, it's probably too late. If you're showing up in 2000 BC, you probably have it. Well, that's my experience.
In my experience as well is also that it depends on how much interaction the AI has with the other civs.
Exactly.
If they don't know anybody on the map and you're rolling up 20 or 30 turns in the game and your first civ they meet, they might just have a single warrior in their capital.
Right.
They won't focus on building units at all. And you can beat them with maybe even a single horseman. No. If they do have an archer army that you're just not going to beat with your horseman army, you can either try to attack them, bring multiple horse armies over, and just try to overwhelm them, or you can just leave them alone and either sell your horse army for 60 gold, or you can go try to get secondary cities. You can wait for another civ to build another settler. Look for those new cities to pop up. Your horsemen can move around fast. You set them on a hill, they can see a lot of stuff. See a new city pop up, run over there and go get it while they only have a single archer in it. We call that roaming or scouting on the forums. They're there to gobble up new cities, and it's a form of pressing your enemy too, which is very important, especially in the online game. Taking control of the map by kind of psychological pressure of, oh, that guy has a horse army over there, I can't expand, or I have to do things slower. Or it's a form of claiming more of the map physically and getting more cities and giving them less space to build cities. If you get a capital, there's usually a point where you got to say, okay, the rush phase is over. Now I've got to work on my overall empire.
That leads into the mid-game, right?
It can still be the early game. Rush phase is usually kind of the first part of the early game. Sometimes it lasts past the ancient era, but usually by the time the ancient era is over, there's not much more rushing or horse rushing, as I see it.
In my experience, the ancient era is by far the most important for the Aztecs because their later bonuses aren't really nearly as good as the early bonuses. So you have to have a good ancient era if you're up against a good player or some good players with good civs, because they're going to get better stuff later on. The follow-up bonuses for the Aztecs are fine, but you do need to have a strong start to beat like the Americans or the Chinese or something like that.
Information about RevCast, Sibling Shows Polycast, and Modcast, or about Polycast in general, log onto the series' official website at thepolycast.net. Record date, October 18th, 2009.
Civilization Revolution Sounds, Clips, Copyright, Take 2, Interactive.
Copyright 2009, Civilized Communication at civcom.net.